Quarterback WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We got the new brand out in front. All of our programming brought to you by friends at Cole Roofing and, of course, Gordian Energy and all of our sponsors around us. Last week, I had my Super Bowl 35 jersey out. I was wearing it. I'm still proud that it fits 20 years later. I was holding up pictures of head coach Brian Billick, our partner on behalf of Living Classrooms Foundation, and the Spear and the Banshee in Nashville. And Jack Del Rio's Zoom was not working last week. So we have now Zoomed him in via Florida from the Washington football team. And I'm not going to talk a whole lot about that because, you know how I feel about these things, Jack. But it is so good to visit with you and tell stories. I got Art Modell's picture over here that I keep behind me. And I know you hold this near and dear because you've been in the game a long, long, long time. Still chasing that, what we had that night 20 years ago, right?
Absolutely. 100%. And I know we're going to jump into like celebrating 20 years ago. And what a great reunion Zoom night we had, the other night.
Hey, you're the first person I've talked to. Tell me, what was that?
We'll talk about it. But I want to, because you hit on Art Modell. And to me, he's got to be in the Hall of Fame. And he was a tremendous.
That's my man right there. See, I keep that everywhere.
I mean, it's way past time. You know, they need to get over the butthurt feelings about, he did the right thing. He left the team name and colors in the city. Let's get over it. But anyway, I don't want to go too far into it, but Art Modell, okay? I loved him. God bless his soul. And I would love to see him get into the Hall of Fame.
All right, so when I hold this thing up here in Art and we do all of this stuff, and if I got my jersey, I see it in the closet over there. I wore it all last week with the little orange patch up here. And when you're flipping around on NFL Network over the weekend, like I was at 11:30 and it popped up on Sunday morning, snowing outside, and I'm like, man, I remember the smell. I remember I have all these pictures and Whiskey Joe's and the parties and just the people I saw, and I had Marvin on last week. Marvin brought me over to the Hyatt West Shore on the Tuesday night before everybody came in and families came in, and me and him and Dwayne Starks in that makeshift ballroom that had video games, and they had the makeshift film room. And Marvin and I sat in there and watched film from the Minnesota game, the Giants and the Eagles, all the pre-ups. And Marvin turned the light off on the projector, and he looked at me. He's like, there's no way we're going to lose. And I was like, whoa, I've never heard a coach 20 years later. You've never said to me, there's no way we're going to lose, ever.
Right. That's how we felt. And the build up, and the amazing thing was each team that we played during that run, where we, by the way, only gave up one defensive touchdown in four playoff games. But the amazing thing was they all were coming off big victories and they were all favored. It was like, really? Okay. But you don't understand. We're getting ready to kill you. We were so confident and we were really good. And our guys were preparing hard and playing hard. And it was a fine line. It's a fine line because you want to be confident and you want to prepare hard, but you want to be loose. And we had that. I think it's underestimated, underappreciated the job that Brian Billick did as a head coach of leading a group of men. I mean, you're talking about a lot of characters, a lot of strong-willed people, a lot of prideful men, and to keep that group together, never let a splinter when things went a little bit haywire early in the year and the adjustments he made. I just give Brian Billick a ton of credit for what he did in harnessing the strength that we had on that football team.
How many years you been involved in professional football?
Since 1985, I've been in professional football playing and coaching.
So that's 36 years. How many championships you won? How many Super Bowls, Jack?
That was the one, and I played, and we coached in one other in Denver. Which did not go so well. So I've been in two Super Bowls.
And the notion of what went right there and what went wrong every other time to not, sometimes it's talent, situational, all of that, but it really is good fortune. I know Tom Brady makes it look easier than that, right? There really is something to it that you have that year, because I've watched the Ravens 25 seasons. We've had better teams around here, you know, but not one that did it that way, in the way for over the course of a whole year, you know, where you would look in January and say that team has all the components, but somehow to navigate January is treacherous because all the teams are good. And there's only one team that's happy.
No, that's exactly right. And that is the case, because there are teams that may be more talented, the, you know, that peak out in November, you know, and they have a great run, and they're like, everybody in the league's going, man, that's probably the best team in the league right now. And they probably are, but it's not time for the Super Bowl trophy. It's not time for the championship of the league. And I think that process of staying healthy and getting hot and being good and hitting it at the right time. I mean, think about like defensively for us, what Marvin and Rex and Mike Smith and Donnie Henderson and Steve Schaefer and all of us, think about what we were game planning against. You know, you start out in the wild card round, Mike Shanahan. And Mike's pretty good. His offenses are all over the league right now. It's a rave. I'll go get a Mike Shanahan offense. I mean, that's what everybody's trying to do, right? So, and then the next round we go into Heimerdinger in Tennessee, who actually won our division that year. I mean, then you go into Oakland, you got John Gruden. Okay, and then in the Super Bowl, we got Sean Payton. I mean, not, you know, those are the offensive coordinators that we went through. All right, so to win in this league is hard. All right, and so what we accomplished there, to me, is such an honor to be a part of. And I'll tell you, the specialness of it is that the closeness that we have, the bond that we have, it's forever. I mean, it's just an incredible feeling. When we get together, there's nothing but love and respect and appreciation for what we accomplished.
And I know we had a lot of fun last year when everybody came in, when Brian was here. We didn't get a chance to bring everybody in. Jack Del Rio was here. He did it on ESPN professionally. He's now doing it with the Washington football team. We'll get to that, and Tom Brady and Super Bowl week and all of that stuff. But the coaches I had on last week, you know, I've had a lot of the players, and I keep company. Goose was on. I had Anthony Mitchell on 2 weeks ago, Matt Stover, all those guys. But when I talk to you coaches, especially 20 years later, because the players play and Goose wears his ring on his middle finger and goes out on his boat and does his TV thing. But all of you on the coaching side, it was sort of embryonic, other than maybe for Brian, for what all of you would go on to do. And whether it's Marvin interviewing for 3 jobs a couple of weeks ago and still seeking a chance to win, whether it's you down there with Ron trying to win in Washington where it hadn't been done in a generation. But Rex, Mike Smith, all of these people that went on, that month really changed the arc of your career, all of you, right? Sure.
Absolutely, because, you know, the league sees it and they want it. You know, you could feel, you could watch, and you could see the synergy. You could see, you know, the approach. You could see, you know, the way Brian Billick prepared us, you know, to go on to the next level, which he did an amazing job of. I give him a ton of credit. And then the environment that we created, and people saw that, they wanted that. You know, they could see the way we played, the confidence we played with, the passion we played with, and they want that. You know, they want to tap into that. And I think that continues on today. I mean, I really do. I mean, you're looking for, you know, people are trying to tap into that. You know, it's not just the system that you're running. It's that energy that you're able to create in that building, because it's more than just X's and O's. It's there's something special about having Super Bowl runs and putting together a Super Bowl team and an understanding of what it looks like to take a group of men and come together and do something special. And I think the rest of the league tries to tap into it.
Do these kids come up to you when you meet them in Washington or even in Denver before that or wherever you've been and say, well, what was Ray Lewis like? I mean, I'm sure there's a lure to that at that point, that you've touched those players and Rod Woodson and Shannon, you know, that greatness and Peyton Manning. I mean, you've been in the rooms with these people, that there's a part of that sort of comes with you, right?
Oh, absolutely. No, incredible. How about when I'm coaching against the Ravens, right? And before the game, I go over to see the statue of Ray. And I'm taking a picture of it. And I come back in our locker room and I'm like, Hey, Khalil, someday you can be like this. All right. I coached Ray and I love Ray. And now I'm coaching you and I love you. And you have the ability to be this someday. And
or Von Miller, right? Or, you know, and any of the next generation,
absolutely.
Right?
You're talking about elite players, great players, but not just being elite and great and being a good football player, but then becoming a championship leading football player. You know, a guy that's won it all, that's led it to the promised land. Yeah, absolutely. You tap into that forever.
You got some special kids down there in Washington right now, right? And what Ron went through this year, and I know your role in that, and you know what my wife's been through, and I mean, heck, you invited my wife and the man who saved her life into your team room in Oakland a number of years ago. But just for putting together young talent, where people would look at Washington and say, well, they haven't won a long time. Guys like you see opportunities in places like that, in Jacksonville, wherever it is, and say, they haven't won there because I haven't been there yet. And I know that's sort of the spirit you bring with you.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And ironically, you know, you touch on that. I brought up Chase Young, and I brought up Ray Lewis, and I brought them up in the same sentence. And it blew people away because they're like, what? Ray Lewis? I mean, you know, are you kidding? Because I was referring to not the player that Chase has become. I was referring to the passion that he plays with and the love that he has for the game and the love that he has for his teammates and the way he impacts people around him. Because nobody has approached what Ray Lewis brought in terms of leadership and inspiration to people he played with. Just an incredible, incredible guy. And he's so real and so authentic and it's so from the heart. And when he speaks, he captures the entire room and he impacts people around him. And Chase has got some of that, you know, and I know how special it is because there aren't many, and you don't just drop that casually. I'm just telling you, he's got some of that. And I recognize it and I respect it and I love it.
Tom Brady's running around at 43. Jack, you and I still feel like we might be 43, right? This is the most incredible thing. I mean, you've been in the game. You've been at a game. You watched it on TV and talked about it. Now you go out there, you try to beat him, try to knock him out of a playoff. This is an incredible story, right? What Bruce has done down there and the fact that – and me watching it to see transplanted football players. When I think back to our team 20 years ago, I think about Goose and McCrary and Shannon and Rod. Well, they all came from the outside. It's nice that Ray Lewis was, you know, that John Ogden, we had pieces. But it's very quick that you can bring in players. But the Gronkowski, Brown, Ndamukong Suh, they've brought in all of these players who are there for one reason. Same reason you're in Washington. They want to win.
Yeah. No, it's when you look at what Tom Brady has been able to do. I mean, this is a week where everybody is talking about how special he is. And you know, you get tired of hearing it, really. Honestly, you do. You get tired of hearing it. But he is. I mean, you know, you have to give him his credit. I mean, the guy, you know, he's been 19 years now. 10 times he's in this Super Bowl. We're talking about how hard it is to get to. 10 times.
You try 35 and you've been there twice.
I've been there twice. It's just not fair. All right. The rest of the league, it just doesn't work that way. All right. But the hard part is I've been knocked out. I mean, I've been part of getting knocked out by him, you know, including this year. And, you know, one time we knocked him off, so it's not like it can't ever happen. It's just very difficult.
What's the really special thing about him if you had to explain it to a knucklehead like me? Like, if you were trying to explain it to somebody that had never watched football, what separates him?
Well, some people just have a champion's heart. And I think it goes beyond just like arm talent or mobility or athleticism. There's something about the way he creates accountability. And I saw it in Denver with Peyton Manning. The moment he entered the building, and I'm sure this happened with Tampa this year, the moment he enters the building, okay, everybody raises their accountability. Everybody is on point. Everybody understands what is at stake. And I think it permeates the entire organization. And I watched it. I watched it in Denver when Peyton Manning came in the building. We found out Peyton was coming. I mean, we were dancing in the halls because we knew that was setting us on a course to be contending for Super Bowls. And you know, obviously that's what we're all after. And so I think what Tom brings, I mean, he can still throw the ball. He's got an incredibly live arm for a guy 43 years old. I mean, typically, you know, guys that are in their 40s, you know, their arm may start out in camp, you know, fresh and live and all that. But by the time they get to the end of the year, they can't throw it down the field the way he can throw it right now. So it's rare. So there's some things that are rare that are going on. But to me, it's raising the level of accountability. It's showing guys what a champion looks like every day. And I really believe that permeates the entire organization.
Raising the level of accountability. Jack Del Rio joining us here from his estate in Florida, but he'll be back up in Washington coaching him up here in no time. You're not missing anything here, Jack. It's snowing here, so you picked a great time to disappear. I want to talk to you about Alex Smith a little bit in your situation there in D.C., just in trying to win and what you've done there and witnessing. You talk about courage, you talk about leadership and accountability. Here's Ron battling cancer over here. Here's this number one overall that our pal Mike Nolan, you know, a long time ago drafted in San Francisco, resurrecting. It's one of the great stories in the history of the NFL, quite frankly, that you've witnessed. I mean, you've really stepped into your own little inspiration there in the last 10 months since you were hanging out on television and wondering where your next opportunity was going to be.
Yeah. I was doing the TV guy. I was playing in the world that you're in, you know, and I'll tell you, I have a greater sense of appreciation for the job you guys do. But in terms of Alex Smith, I walked in to the building and I happened to catch him in the locker room and I saw his leg and I'm like,
did you know him? Did you know him a little bit?
I mean, we were competitors. I mean, you know, sure. I mean, I'm the head coach of the Raiders. He's the starting quarterback for the Chiefs, right? Raiders, Chiefs. It's kind of, you know, kind of like Steelers and Ravens, right? I mean, it's, you know, it's don't like each other. So, but you know, certainly respect for him. And then I saw him in the locker room and I said hello and I saw his leg and I'm like, wow. I mean, that was, I mean, it just blew me away because I had really not, I kind of knew it happened, but I didn't sink into the details of
it. Dude, you're a grown man in the NFL. I think you've seen everything, literally, right?
Like, yeah, I haven't seen that. And so I'm like, there's no way. There is no way this guy's going to be able to play. I don't believe he could be on the field. And then when he was on the field, somehow he worked his way, got allowed to be on the field, which was a story in itself. It's tough. And then, but I'm watching our guys and when they're rushing towards him, they would go nowhere near him in practice. I mean, it was like there was a halo around him. They just wouldn't get anywhere near. Nobody wanted to be, you know, responsible for, you know, getting around him and causing something tragic to happen, you know? So, I mean, to watch him go through that and the toughness and the grit and the preparation and the way he worked at it. And, you know, I don't want to get into being negative about Dwayne Haskins, but the young man clearly did everything the opposite that Alex Smith, you know, the example Alex Smith was providing. And that's why he's no longer there. But Alex Smith, he just takes every day and squeezes every ounce that he can out of every day. And, you know, so I just have the ultimate respect for him as a pro and as a man. And the way I saw him, it's kind of like a military guy, you know, it feels like that. Like he's not doing it for our country. You know where the similarity is between military and football? It's really not, you're not, I mean, it's not really the paycheck. It's not the flag. It's your brother next to you and that kind of brotherhood. And to me, that's what he was about. He showed a great example because he did it for his brothers in the locker room. And I respect that. And when we were talking on the reunion the other night, the one thing that I really felt was a sense of brotherhood between coaches, players, all of us that were part of it. Heck, even you and I, Nestor, you and I mean, there's just a brotherhood that we'll always have as being part of that, you know, that championship run.
There's nothing like it, really. And the Zoom thing the other night, I mean, I probably could have invited myself onto it, but I thought, I want to hear about it. You know what I mean? Like, everybody on my, I mean, I'm Facebook friends with 20 of you guys, right? And it was all over Twitter and Stokely and the bottles of wine and the cigar cutter, all that. Give me a little behind, you know, inside poker on how that goes, because it is the strangest kind of reunion, right? You'd all rather be on the field doing it here.
Yeah, no question. I mean, it's a shame that we couldn't do it in person. And I think they're actually going to try and do it in person this upcoming year. But just tremendous, you know, just memories and laughs and stories. And, Kevin Byrne, who does such a great job. First of all, everything the Ravens do, you know, it's just so damn first class. You know, just they just do it right. And so it's such a treat to be tied to that family, and to that organization, because they just do things right. So anyway,
you worked in like 10 or 11 organizations. So when you say that, you mean, well, everybody says that. I mean, it's just sort of, and not everybody says that about most places. People don't run around just giving plaudits away, right? It's kind of hard to get that kind of praise, I think.
Yeah, no, it's hard to get. I mean, I've been a lot of places, a lot of really good places, a lot of good memories, good people, but I think the Ravens do it. I think it's a cut above, and I think that's why I go back to Art Modell, because, you know, my wife and I both think, I mean, how she was treated, you know, as a wife. I just feel like they got it. You know, they understood what we go through, what we do. They really understood it and appreciated and respected it. And you know, the way they treated us kind of reflected that. So, but anyway, it was a great evening. Great.
Well, look, man, if we add this 17th game and there's a real rivalry game, you know, I'll meet you down in Columbia and we'll, we can pinky wrestle or something. I don't know. At some point, dude, we're going to take these masks off and we're going to go to Merriweather Post and sit out on the lawn and have a proper adult beverage under the stars and listen to music again. That's as much as I love football and sports and baseball and all that. I want to go back to a concert, Jack. That's what I want to do.
Amen. Hey, man, I can't wait. I mean, you know, we're human beings, man. We're meant to interact. I mean, that's, you know, it has to come at some point. It has to open up, but we'll get back to some normalcy, interaction. And I mean, the one thing that was really hard this year was not celebrating with our fans. You know, we won our division, right? I mean, you know, it should be a celebratory time. You know, we had some great moments, and we just weren't able to like enjoy the crowd, the roar of the crowd. I mean, there's something to that, that was sadly missing this year, and really look forward to getting the fans back next year.
Well, I was down there for the game for nobody back in October. We played you guys, and Mr. Snyder gave me really good parking, man. I had like over cover the whole deal there in the front. It said Plat A, and I thought it said Plata, like, you know, Hispanic, like plate. No, it was Platinum A parking. So I'll never have that for a U2 or Stones
never
concert.
Again.
But I'm just hoping to get to a U2 or Stones concert down there. Jack, take care of yourself. Stay warm down in Florida. We'll get you back up here freezing in no time. And hopefully we can take these masks off and say hello some point during the summer, okay?
Sounds great. I look forward to it.
You live too close to not get together once a year. Jack Del Rio, a one-time coach of the Baltimore Ravens. I used to call him a mauler back in the day because I liked you as a player, Jack. I like you more as a person. I like you less in Washington than I did in Baltimore, but you know that. Jack Del Rio joining us here, talking all things Super Bowl 35 and honoring the champions. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore.
Right,
we never stop talking. Baltimore positive.